Hello once again, this is Greg Berger here along with Rick Moore on Unfinished Music on MSONewsportsRadio.com, MSONewsports.com web radio. And today our guest is Mr. Alan Estes. Alan, hello.
Hey guys, great to be here.
Excellent, well thanks for stopping by. So we're going to jump right into a song, so what are you going to hit us up with?
Well, okay, this is a song that that I wrote called Abandoned, and actually it was inspired by my dad. My dad passed away a year ago this last May, and so I wanted to write a little something special for him, as you'll see in the special. The last verse is dedicated to him. So Abandoned, all right? There's an old abandoned mansion on the water, a seaside castle perched upon a bluff, standing guard at the entrance of the harbor. The sailors call it Diamond in the Rough, and it's weathered every storm and every season. Built to last forever as it was, and for the life of me I'll never know the reason. They're gonna tear it down instead of fix it up. Better days gone by, better days gone by, better days gone by. Time keeps ticking, ticking like a time bomb. Time keeps ticking, ticking like a time bomb. There's an old abandoned farm out in the country, on the Kimball Hill Road, just this side of town, where the roosters used to wake us up so early, to the sound of tractors pulling on the plow, and the smell of cows and hay that filled the valley is just a faded memory hidden in the wind. Soon the wrecking ball will sing its grand finale as a simple way of life draws to an end. Better days gone by, better days gone by, better days gone by. Time keeps ticking, ticking like a time bomb. An old abandoned wheelchair by the wood stove, where he'd sit and read for hours by the fire. And he'd reminisce, staring out the window, till I'd wheel him in to bed when he grew tired. And he knows it's time to take his final journey. Lots of friends and family waiting for him there. And as I let him go, dear Lord, please be with me. 'Cause I'm feeling like that old abandoned chair. Better days gone by. Better days gone by. Better days gone by. Time keeps ticking, ticking like a time bomb. Time keeps ticking, ticking like a time.
Excellent, excellent,
wow.
Excellent.
Wow.
All right, so I've got a Facebook Live video going here, and I just want to tell the viewers, we actually have people watching this on my personal Facebook page, tune in to msonewsports.com for the live audio stream of this, and I'll turn this around so people can see what's going on here in the studio.
And plug your computer into a big sound system so you can hear this fabulous
turn
sound
it
in
way
stereo.
Up, too.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll be back with some more Facebook Live shortly. But if you want to hear the interview and the music, tune in to the website. That's msonewsports.com. And make sure you visit our Facebook page, Unfinished Music.
Okay,
so see you soon.
All right. Alan.
Yes.
I got to tell you, first of all, such a personal song.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, universal, because there's so many songs written about the world keeps turning, time passing, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But damn, if I didn't think of my dad when you were singing that. And,
well, I couldn't ask for a better compliment.
All I had was...
Thank you.
Well, you're quite welcome, but thank you, because it was fabulous. And I remember writing a eulogy that you read in church type thing, and that was it. But you've got something that lasts... forever. And you've painted a fantastic picture. Congratulations. That's awesome.
Well, thank you. You know, it's sometimes the emotions that we go through as human beings, I purposely took those three different little stories, each one of those verses. One's a mansion on the water, like how many abandoned homes have we seen that, you know, that were one time just a beautiful place right on the rocks right here in Gloucester, you know? I mean, and you know, all through New England, some of these farms and stuff, I mean, the farm has gone the way. But you go by these places that are kind of dilapidated and let go, and you just know that that's the fate that it's going to meet. It conjured up the same emotion down in my pit of my stomach as watching my dad in his final years and what he was, you know, how he was doing as well as he possibly could. I mean, he was lived till he was 87 years old. He died peacefully in his sleep. You can't ask for any more. But that progression, you know, is this something that's similar in each one of those circumstances.
And plus, thinking about the fact when you go by an empty house, how many of us just zip by it? You see the for sale sign or you see the wrecking ball. Mm-hmm. And you fail to realize, even think about, the lives that lived out their entire existence in those places and all the happy times.
And the hard work that went into the building of those places and especially like a farm. I mean, you know, you were up crack of dawn even before and I mean, the work was never done.
Right.
You know, and so, I mean, it's a lifestyle and it's a commitment that, you know, I just, you know, I see something like that, and I say, well, that's a part of our past that we're kind of losing.
Right. And the good thing about working on the farm is you get to get up early, do all that work, and go to bed, and then the next day you get to get up and do it again.
Yeah.
So
7 days a week.
I think people kind of forget where we all came from, basically.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Alan, where'd you come from?
Well,
good segue.
Yeah, very good. I'm originally from Maine. My dad was a chemical engineer, and so he worked in the paper mill system up in Maine. He went to Bowdoin College in Maine and then MIT, and so we ended up in some of those river towns like Livermore Falls and stuff on the Androscoggin River, and he worked at the paper mills, and so that's in my younger years there, and then moved down to Lexington, Mass. When I was like about 9 years old and went through high school there. And then I've been all over the place since then.
Yeah, I saw that on the bio.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
So what brought you to Gloucester?
Well, I started playing up here in Gloucester back in the mid to late 70s. And I was playing all around the New England area. And I met Fred Schriegle, the owner
Fred.
Of the Rum
sure.
Line.
Sure.
And Fred said, you know, I'd really like to, you know, you're so busy, you couldn't really commit to any other day except maybe a Monday night. Would you be interested in playing every Monday night here? Bring in your bass player or another guitar player, whatever, duo, trio, whatever you'd like, and see if we can build something up. So I said, all right. And the rest is kind of Rum Line history. We started out in, probably late winter. And by mid to late spring, the place was packed every single Monday night. And to this day, Fred's best night still is like Monday nights with the open jam.
Right.
You know, Greg, you've gone and played there, and I mean, it gives an opportunity for a lot of local folks that like to play that aren't in a band or whatever can go and jam and sit
right.
in with other musicians and share their stuff. And then, of course, Dan King took the helm for a while, mm-hmm. doing the hosting the thing. But I started it out back in like 78, 79.
Wow.
How'd you start with music?
Well, I come from a musical family. My mom was an Oberlin graduate. She was a concert harpist. And she played the harp, and she played some with the Boston Pops and stuff like that.
Wow.
And so she was classically trained, plus she was a singer. And my dad was more into the country and bluegrass music, so he played banjo and piano and guitar and stuff. And so I have three other brothers, and we all, just as kids growing up, you know, learned how to sing the harmonies and stuff and play guitars and stuff. And so when we get together, that's what we do.
That's awesome. And when you were growing up, it was a blank palette with the new invention of stereo radio and the rock, the British invasion and all the folk singers. I mean, you had, I'm guessing, just so many places to turn.
Well, things have so totally changed. And nowadays, if you want to learn a song, you just go on to the internet and you Google YouTube your song, and the lyrics come up and everything. Back in the old days, you had to take that needle on the record player and very gently put it down on the record, listen to one sentence, pick it back up, write the sentence down. So it was a little bit more painstaking, but we somehow got through it.
Any influences jump out at you from when you were a kid, in terms of listening?
Well, a lot of different stuff, and some of it didn't really affect me when I was really young, but came back later on.
Mm-hmm.
Like my mom's music, I was not a real big fan of in the very beginning, like, you know, your Sinatras and your Torch songwriters and singers. But now I love that stuff, and I search it out, and that's some of the finest songwriting ever is, from that era. But as a kid growing up, of course, you know, my dad would sit around with us boys, and we'd learn how to sing some of these old hillbilly tunes and stuff in the harmony, and so that was fun. But, you know, I really, when the Beatles came along and that sort of thing started happening, that's really what made me go, you know, this is what I really want to learn. This is what I really want to sink my teeth into.
It's funny because I remember my parents listening to their music when you were growing up, right? Because what's ever on the radio or TV, you know, and read Dean Martin and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But then I remember I got a little transistor radio for Christmas one year. And we moved back to the States. We were living in Germany at the time. Dad was in the Army. And I remember the first song that was mine, all right, this is mine, was Satisfaction by the Stones. You know, and my parents ain't going to listen to that. But I remember that. And you're right. I go back now and I listen to, I go back and listen to symphonies. But Glenn Miller, I go back to the 40s now and listen to some of that stuff.
The stuff was great. The stuff was great. But, you know, if you look at through the generations and stuff, there's a couple of things that happened. young people want to have their own music. They don't want to just come right into this world and they want to like be able to look at you and go, Mom and Dad, now that's kind of square. That's not hip. This is what's hip. This is the new stuff. But if you're really serious about music and your love of music, it eventually turns around. You realize that the stuff you're listening to now or what you like couldn't be done if the other stuff hadn't
right.
come.
Right. It all before. Builds on it. It builds on what came before.
Yeah. So.
I saw a video on Pete Townsend of The Who said, good music is good music whenever it was written.
Yep.
And it will last. And yeah. And I think it. I'm guessing when you're a musician and an artist, it expands your repertoire potentially by listening to all these other genres. Maybe, I mean,
absolutely. I mean, and when you thirst for playing music and becoming as good as you possibly can be, and whether you're a songwriter, singer, player, all three combined, or any one of them. If you get serious about it and you really want to become an expert on what you do, you got to go back and you got to look through it all. You got to wade your way through it. I mean, you know, way before, you know, Keith Richards and stuff like that, there was Chet Atkins, you know, and some of these old blues guys and stuff. And that's where they learned.
Hey, how about Les Paul? You ever heard original Les Paul stuff? I know you have.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Incredible stuff.
I mean, you know, you got to credit him for the electric guitar, really, you know, and so... You know, it's a progression, but you know, you learn that as you get a little older, and you see.
We knew everything as 16 and 17 year olds, didn't we?
Oh, boy. I guess so. Absolutely.
Wow, but I think you hit the nail on the head with the music you listened to when you're growing up is what your parents were listening to, and my I was the youngest of the kids, so my father was, even though I was growing up in the late 70s and 80s, we were listening to Frank Sinatra, which was kind of not the stuff that I would have listened to later, but now I have a bunch of Sinatra
sure.
CDs.
Absolutely. And you know, the early folk days, I mean, there's some singer-songwriters around Gloucester, you know, like Charlie Bianchini, Marina Evans, and some of these younger folks that are, they're pulling out these Joni Mitchell songs.
Yeah.
These early folk
right
songs by folk artists and stuff, because their parents brought them up listening to it.
Right.
You know? And they go back to it.
Marina Evans, I don't know if you saw the thing she posted. She wrote music to go with a poem by Woody Guthrie.
Yep.
You know, which was about
Trump's dad. Yeah.
So,
yep. I wish her the best of luck with that. I mean, that's it's hard to know what could come of that. Mm-hmm. Of course, she's going to try to promote it on her own end. But just the fact that she can... say that, you know, she was able to take something that was just a batch of lyrics by Woody Guthrie and be able to put some music to it and add her own lyrics, and she got the thumbs up from his family to go ahead and do it.
Well, it sounded pretty good from my end. So speaking of creating, why don't you hit us up with another song? We noticed you switch guitars.
Love to. Let me see. Okay. Here's one that... I wrote just about a year ago. It was an end of the summer, early fall song. And it's called Carnival Man. Summer, first day of sober. Oh, what a ride on that old roller coaster. Hey, carnival man, slow it down. I gotta get off. Fried like a chicken, burned like a toaster. Man, now I know why they call it hung over. My head's bouncing off of the ground when I try to walk. Last day of summer,
first day is sober, sun growing weaker, nights growing colder, been thinking about someone I know, might give her a call. We could have a few laughs, cook a few dinners, she and me and old man Winter used to get along pretty damn well, if I can recall. And there's a book I need to read, and there's some songs I need to write, and there's some love I need to share with those who've done me right. And there's some hands I need to hold, and there's some friends I long to see, and I'm running out of some days as time runs out on me. Last day of summer, first day of sober, see you September, hello October, been staring at this harvest moon and craving a beer. But I know darn well where it'll lead me, down that road it'll never be easy. My brand new year's resolution comes early this year. And there's a book I need to read, and there's some songs I need to write, and there's some love I need to share with those who've done me right. And there's some hands I need to hold, and there's some friends I long to see, and I'm running out of some days as time runs out on me. Last day of summer, first day of sober, oh what a ride on that old roller coaster. Hey carnival man, slow it down, I gotta get off.
Another beauty. So what I like to ask people when they come in, what is their process for writing songs, because I'm taking notes and stealing all the good ideas. So
well, you know, that's funny because you know, on my show, that's one of the most popular questions that people ask me, that we love to hear about the segment in your show about how different processes work for different songwriters. Me personally, the idea can come from anywhere. It can be a lyrical idea, it can be just me pacing around my house, strumming on something, and I'll hear some musical thing, a chord, a little progression, something. But the trick for me is when I, wherever it comes from, whether I'm driving in my car, wherever, if I get something that I know that, like, oh, yeah, now that is worthwhile. So I got to get somewhere where I can at least write it down, mm-hmm. or at least have a chance to play it over and over again to embed that in my thought process and my memory. And once it takes a hold, to me, that's sort of the initial creative process right there. That's the true inspiration. Then the rest of it's kind of some inspiration and some perspiration involved. You've got to force yourself to sit down, and it becomes a craft.
Right.
Then you figure out how you want to say it, how you want the verses to lead up to the chorus, and what's your big punchline, you know, all the different kinds of things.
When I go to work somewhere else, it's got my time. I can't take time off for myself. I got to do that work. When I'm working in my office at home, I get distractions. You got to stay. You just mentioned that. You got to stay focused when you do this stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's plenty of times where I'll sit down in an evening. I'll say, well, I'm going to work on this song, and nothing will come. Mm-hmm. I'll go over it and over it. I'll walk around. I'll go. But sometimes I'll try something out, and it'll be a dead end for me. Sometimes it'll be a breakthrough. But I think that the dead ends have to occur to get the breakthroughs. I don't think that you can, for me personally anyways, I don't see as if I go to bed that night and I didn't really write a single keeper line down there, I don't think that it was a waste of time, because I had to get through that to kind of narrow down my focus of, well, this, where does it need to go then?
I ask, I don't know who it was, but I've asked one or two people when they come in here, as a math person, I have struggled with learning math from time to time. And there have been times when I focused, can't get it. I'll be out running, thinking about how to figure it. Can't do it. But then, after a long period of time trying to work on it, I'll be asleep at night, and 2 or 3 a.m., I'll wake up in the middle of the night, and I've got it. And it's not a dream. I've got it. I don't have to write it down. I can go back to sleep and wake up later in the morning, and I still got it. Do you ever experience anything like that where maybe the subconscious takes over? Like you say, you've done those throwaway things, and, man, we're just going to flush those down the toilet, but then something else pops up at some other unexpected time maybe?
Oh, yeah. And as a matter of fact, I think subliminally, once that you've been working on something like that, especially, and math is a good example, that you might, okay, well, I'm tired, I'm going to go to bed, but that doesn't mean that whole thing that you've been concentrating on and working on goes away. That just kind of goes down for a little while, and it could surface. I mean, I've had songs come to me in dreams, and woken right up in the middle of the night and going, well, wait, that's too good of an idea. I mean, I'm going to go back to sleep, but I'm going to write this down so I can think about that the next morning. You know, I've had that happen before. I mean, not always, and then the other thing that happens, I don't know about for you, but sometimes if I do wake up in the middle of the night, I can't get back to sleep. I got these things running through my head, and these songs and these things that I've been working on just because I put so much time into it. And once again, that can be a little frustrating because I want to go back to sleep. But sometimes I just get up and I say, well, you know what? I'm going to just write this down. And then I look over it the next morning over coffee, and there's either something there or there's not. But once again, I think you got to go through that to get the good stuff.
What about Carnival Man? Tell me about that, because that conjures images for me as well, you know, with the autumn coming of my life type thing for me.
Well, there's that. There's the bigger picture. But there's also the picture of when, as human beings, at least myself, I try to think in terms of improving with my life as I go along. And whether it's just keeping things like drinking in check, you know, or just partying or whatever kind of any kind of like things that you know are good in certain moderation.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was kind of the start of it. And I mean, you know, it's so easy to, especially in the summertime, like around here when everything's going and you got Fiesta going and all that sort of thing. That's why I was thinking Carnival Man and all that sort of thing. And it's easy to like just get into that whole kind of spirit thing. And all of a sudden, you're getting a buzz on every single night and you're having a great old time and everything. But finally, you're just going to say, okay, I got to get back to reality. So that was really just kind of the initial thought of it.
I don't want to keep the conversation, you know, take over here, but I see a lot of times you see like the old YouTube videos of Jim Morrison cooked on stage and people like that. You can't really do that when you're a musician, can you? Because you've got to remember how. I don't think you can play in your sleep. I mean, you say that, but you know what I'm trying to say? You pretty much have to be straight for most of the show, don't you? The lyrics, the playing, and so on.
Well, I got to know a lot of people that definitely had some serious problems, and sometimes some were able to keep it together better than other ones.
Yeah.
I've seen some unbelievably sloppy stuff on stage. Of course, you go way back to Hank Williams and stuff, and he was notorious for that.
Sure.
George Jones was notorious in country music for not even showing up for gigs and stuff like that, or you know, Hank taking the stage and falling over drunk and stuff like that. And of course, you know, people have paid good money even back then to go see. They don't want to see that. So even though it can kind of be funny on a certain level, but then there's other people that just kind of can somehow maintain.
They can handle it.
But what does happen is as you get older, the years of abuse start to finally take over.
Mm-hmm.
It affects your voice. It affects the way you look. It affects, you know, just, you know, your nimbleness, everything. And so, once again, I guess it comes back to what we were talking about earlier. If you want to dedicate and devote your life to becoming as good as you can on your instrument or what you do, then you got to keep that stuff in check.
Well, why don't we cue up the Souls of the Sea, not with your hands, and while he's queuing that up, you want to tell us about the project and the Souls of the Sea band, etc.?
Yep. Souls of the Sea started out, my friend Frank Tedesco and I, it was way back, not too long after the perfect storm, and with the Andrea Gale going down, and we decided to try to write a song about it. So we did, and we wrote a song called Where'd They Go? And it was back when Bruce Tobey was still the mayor, And they voted it unanimously in. We did a video of it, and they played the video all the time on Cape Ann TV. And people loved the song, and so they voted it unanimously in as the official song for Gloucester. And I believe it still is, where they go. So that started Frank and I thinking, you know, Frank's a lyricist. And so that started us thinking, well, let's do some more of that. And we found an old article in the Gloucester Times about fishing boat called the Corinthian, which was owned by the Noble family, Jerry Noble from Noble Electricians. Mm-hmm. And back in the mid-50s, they were out in the pea soup fog, and they had a whole load of redfish, and they got hit by a freighter, broadside of the freighter, didn't even know, cut them in half, and 7 out of the 13 guys died. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jerry lost his grandfather, and you know, and they're up on the
Cenotaph,
yep, at the statue. But Jerry wrote the article, and it was just such a story of not only heroism but love, and it's had so much family values that we ended up writing a song about Corinthian. Then with the song that you guys are going to play here in a minute, Not With Your Hands, that was inspired by Joseph Garland's book, The Lone Voyager. Mm-hmm. And for you folks out there that live in Gloucester, if you have not read The Lone Voyager by Joseph
shame
Garland,
on you.
Shame on you. Yeah. You got to pick it up. And if you're not from Gloucester and you want to read one of the best historical books about Gloucester, a man of 9 lives, and you just can't put the book down. So that was so inspirational that that's where we came up with the book, you row with the song You Row With Your Heart, Not With Your Hands. This song is was written about a colorful historical figure from Gloucester, a guy named Howard Blackburn, who got lost at sea and managed to survive. And this is a little story song about his life, and it's called Not With Your Hands. My name's Howard Blackburn. I was lost for days at sea in a winter storm, but my trawling made in 1883. With frostbitten hands, I rode for land 60 miles away. Poor Tom, before he froze to death, had nothing good to say. He said, Howard, you won't make it to shore. There ain't no power in your hands anymore. But I said, one day, this survivor under. Keep you down on your knees like a vow.
thought I was just a salty Gosterman who would not turn up dead. Who heard refrains of victory instead of what they said. They said, Howard, you shouldn't dream anymore. There ain't no power in a man who's not whole. I said, oh, hey, this survivor understands. You dream with your heart, not with your hands. I said, what may this survivor understand? Yeah, you dream with your heart, not with your hands.
All right, that was Alan Estes with the Souls of the Sea band doing Not With Your Hands live. So you were saying while it was playing, who's on it, so why don't you...
Yeah, well, that we recorded that at the Zyterian Theater in New Bedford. And, you know, what a great place, just like Gloucester, for Souls of the Sea, because, of course, you know, fishing is their main thing down there as well. And in that band was another local... Guy Fly Amaro, and he's singing that song with me. Mm-hmm. And oh my gosh, we had a Sal Baglio is one of our guitar players from the Stompers. Remember the Stompers?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
And we had about an 8-piece band, and it was a sold out show. We had about 1,000 people there, and as you could hear, it was a great night. Pouring rain, but people showed up in droves, and they just came out, and we got a live album out of it, and I'm really proud of that.
You know, the energy in that song was amazing. You guys were into it, and
oh gosh, yeah,
yeah, that was way cool. And I was just thinking of what's that Dropkick Murphys song, Shipping Up. I'd rather have this one than Shipping Up to Boston. That is awesome.
Well, you know what when you read about Howard Blackburn and stuff, he was just when he moved back here and he lived here and he ran his bar down there. He wouldn't take any crap from anybody. Yeah. That's for sure. I mean, he was great guy, and but he was very set in his ways, and so we wanted to have something that really kicked.
Absolutely, yeah. And we should point out Halibut Point is the real Blackburn Tavern,
right,
on the east side of Main Street.
Yep.
That's the Blackburn building. I don't know. How'd that sign? Never mind. That's a story for another day. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, they still have a lot of the old photographs
that
they got upstairs because his offices used
amazing.
To be upstairs.
Yep.
Now, before you played the last song, you just sort of briefly mentioned your show. So why don't we plug your show? Because I have to say, this is sort of an ode to my show. So from watching yours on KPN TV.
Oh, well, thank you.
So
thank you, Greg.
Why don't you tell us about it? So.
Well, we've been going now about 5 years, and we've done about 94 shows, I believe. And it started out as, with just bringing in some local musicians, singers, songwriters, to just have a chance to get out there. And for people that, can't get out to the bars and can't get out to restaurants. They got families at home. They're cooking dinner and blah, blah, blah. But they still would like to know what's going on in the music community locally. And so that was really one of the reasons why it started out. And then as we got into it a little bit, I realized that, as I'm talking to these different, especially the songwriters, everybody had their own little quirky kind of way of whatever seemed to work for them to open the doors to the creative process to come to them, musically, lyrically, all that sort of thing. So that's always a part of the show. And then it expanded some more since we have, the Larkham Theater in Beverly now and the mm-hmm. Cabot Theater and the Shaylin Lou in Rockport. I get to snag some of these folks that are coming through town to play some of those concerts once in a while if they have time. They'll come in and do it. Also with some of the folk music venues like the One World Coffee House and the Old Sloop Coffee House in Rockport and stuff. We can get some of these singer-songwriter folk guys. But recently, it is airing tonight for the first time. We did a two-part show on our beloved Kay Ellis. And Kay and Tom Ellis owned and had the Lannan built, the schoonery Lannan, and were the start of bringing the beautiful schooner full sail back to the harbor. And, of course, you know, Harold Burnham now has got the Pinky Ardell and the Ventures up and running and stuff, and we're kind of getting so many people commenting, wow, you know, Gloucester's starting to look like it looked 100 years ago, and that's a wonderful thing, you know. But Kay sadly passed away this last March and from cancer. But she loved music so much, and they would have these music sales on the Lannan. And 15, 20 of us with fiddles and mandolins and banjos and accordions and guitars and everything would jump up on the land. They'd sell out the rest of the tickets because the boat holds like 50. And we'd go out and we'd put up the sails and we'd do a concert. And the sound was so good out there. And, you know, Gloucester, when the sun's going down on a summer night and the moon's going up and the lights come on in the harbor and you just kind of get the sails and you're just out there, there's just nothing better. So tonight starts part one of the Kay Ellis special, and we had a bunch of different musicians on there. I hope if you folks out there have Comcast that you can watch at Channel 12 locally. And then next week will be part two. And then the following week we'll show part one again, and then the following week part two again. And through all this, I wrote a song about Kay.
Oh, great.
And I was going to play that for you guys if you'd like to hear that.
Sure. And one last thing on that, KFANTV.org has your old shows, your past shows,
yep,
as well as this one shortly after it airs. It should hit the website for streaming?
Yep, absolutely. Usually once it airs, which is a two-week period of time, then it'll go on the web. And the web is kpantv.org, and the other one is localmusicscene.com. That's the name of my show, and scene is S-E-E-N, localmusicscene.com. And either one, you can go up and you click on the archives or whatever, and then it's listed by my guests. So if, you know, Chelsea Berry, you want to see her show, then you just click on that, or Fly Amaro, or, you know, just different people that I've had on through the years. Ingeborg, I mean, like, we've done a whole bunch of them. So, you know, it's a great opportunity to give something back to the community.
All right. So this song you wrote for Kay Ellis. So
yep.
Let me get your reverb correct here. All right.
They had a celebration of her life at the Gloucester House last March, about 2 to 3 weeks after she had passed away. And there were 700-something people. I mean, it was just absolutely jam-packed. Madhouse played, and a bunch of different people got up and played and sang. And Gail McCarthy from The Times was coming around and just saying to all sorts of different people and saying, can I get a quote from you, something that you loved about Kay, something that you remember about Kay and her life that we're just putting these things together. So she came up to me, and she said, so, Alan, you know, when you think about Kay and you know, all the times that you guys spent together, how can you basically sum her up? And I wasn't even thinking. I just said, well, she was our humble queen of the harbor. And Gail kind of stopped back and looked back and just said, well, you ought to write a song about that. And I said, well, maybe I will.
Now that you mention it.
And so I did. So that's what this is called, Our Humble Queen of the Harbor.
All right.
And we do miss you, Kay. Okay. Our humble queen of the harbor, our humble queen of the harbor, so many lessons we learned out on these docks, how some make a living while others crash upon the rocks. Yes, this life at sea can make or break a man. And she was always there to lend a guiding hand. Just a shack on the pilings was her castle. With a smile in her wisdom, she ruled her kingdom proud.
Lookout Harbor. Now the sun's sinking low, the moon's rising high, the sky's all aglow out here on the water, and the red sky at night is a sailor's delight from our humble the harbor, our humble queen of the harbor. And then without warning, the years robbed her blind. Still she counted her blessings as she was running out of time. And forever in our hearts she'll always be our humble queen of the harbor. Now the sun's fading fast, moon's turning gold, sending diamonds that splash and sparkle the water. Such a beautiful sight, being with her tonight, our humble queen of the harbor. Keep on keeping on, singing old sailing songs, but tonight we belong to our humble queen of the harbor.
Very nice
and
indeed.
Have the Ellis's,
thank you.
What do they think of it?
Well, Tommy loves it. And when I first, it took me a while to write because I wanted to not just be that you had to know Kay to know what the song was about. I wanted to try to keep it a universal thing for anybody that just loved somebody and loved what they gave while their time on earth, you know, and Tom was out, in the western part of the country, out in Idaho and stuff, and he was doing some backpacking and stuff and just needed to get away for a while. So I had to wait till he got back to play it for him. So I had him come over to my house and gave him a copy of the lyrics and played it for him a couple of times. And he says, "I really, it's great, Alan." He says, "It's great." And you know, a couple of tears.
Yeah.
And
So
then I've been playing it, you know, quite a bit ever since. Played it for the opening ceremonies for the Schooner Festival weekend with Safathia out behind the Mayor's Cup thing, you know. And as I said, we just did the show on TV, and there's Daisy Nell and Captain Stan and Jay and Laurie Key from Old Cold Tater, Chick Marston, Ellen Ford, Laura Ritchie and Greg Morrow, Tom Eaton, and all of us, you know, we all were part of this music cruise and stuff. And she loved all those songs, and so we all chose her, you know, the tunes that she liked.
I have a million questions, so I'm not going to ask them. So, Alan, will you come back sometime in the not-too-distant future? Because I got a million more questions to ask
absolutely.
You. But
love to.
And we haven't played enough music, so that would be great. Thanks.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. You guys keep on playing whatever you want to play.
All right. Let's just a quick station identification. This is Greg Verga along with Rick Moore at Unfinished Music on MSO News Sports Radio. And our guest today is Alan Estes. And we're going to play one of Ellen's recordings here, which is, what's number two on the...
East of the Sunrise.
East of the Sunrise.
All right, let's go.
Yeah, another one from our Souls of the Sea.
Okay.
Great.
of the sunrise on oceans unknown. His vessel keeps turning, trying to get home. And she waits upon the shore for him. And she keeps an open door for him, trusting that he survives east of the sunrise. Of the sunrise, the currents that flow carry his yearning where he can no longer go. But she never gives up hope for him. And she finds a way to cope for him, haunting the endless tides from east of the sunrise. The raging storm tossed him where seas are calm and skies are always clear. Of the sunrise, the morning is fair, the fall nets are bursting, there's joy in the air, and she won't be long away. She saves her broken heart for him. The promise never dies east of the sunrise.
Right, that was East of the Sunrise, and that was the Souls of the Sea Band.
Yes.
And it's also, you have a CD called East of the Sunrise,
yep,
which I have right here, so you folks at home can see I'm holding it in front of the microphone. See
yeah,
it?
There you go. that was actually, we were able to do the East of the Sunrise CD after a CD that I did before called Breaking Even, and we entered that into a contest with a company called Disc Makers, who make CDs, and a big distribution company, and we won. They divided the country into four parts, you know, the Northeast, Southeast, Northwest, and Southwest, and had literally thousands of acts, you know, enter these contests, and a panel of judges, you know, from these different four corners would listen to them. And then when they finally narrowed it down, we were one of eight bands that were invited to go into Boston and play at Mamakin's, which was Aerosmith's old club in on Lansdowne Street. And that was the final competition. And we actually won. So the winnings were lots and lots of musical equipment, guitars, microphones, wireless mics, and, you know, 60 hours worth of recording time at a studio in Boston. So that's where we got the opportunity to do East of the Sunrise.
Nice. Excellent. I always wondered, because I enter contests all the time to win guitars and stuff, and I always wondered if I did win, if they'd give me a lefty or if I had to take the right-handed one. I kind of wonder.
Well, if they offer you either one, you'd probably take the lefty. But
yeah, but I'm just wondering if they get the choice. If I get stuck with the righty, I'll give it to you.
Okay, then keep entering those contests. For sure.
All right, so you want to give us one more live tune?
Yes, I'd be happy to, yeah. Sometimes as a songwriter, if you get lucky, and I think I got lucky with this song because I was just kind of didn't have any. I kind of had this little melodic kind of thing that I was playing around with, but I was just kind of looking around, and then I realized, oh, why don't you just write what you see? It was just one of those things, and it just fell out. And this I did in one sitting, and it's called A Simple Man Like Me. Won't you listen to my story? Won't you hear my melody? Won't take long, just a little song about a simple man like me. Part-time lucid dreamer who dreamed he was awake, and he'd sing and dance and make romance only dreamers dared to make. Then daylight cracked the skyline, sent a shimmer on the sea, and the sun did pour across the bedroom floor of a simple man like me. And he thought of rolling over, drifting back to sleep, but another man had other plans for a simple man like me. A simple man like me. Simple man like me. The other man had other plans for a simple man like me. So I went looking for adventure, didn't need to travel far. I found a world of endless wonder running right through my backyard. The evenings were for gazing at the far-off galaxies, where wanderlust was good enough for a simple man like me. A simple man like me. Simple man like me. Wanderlust was more than good enough for a simple man like me. I roam from town to town, a guitar across my shoulder, laying down a lonesome sound. And I barely make a living, but the music sets me free. And there I find some peace of mind for a simple man like me. A simple man like me. Simple man like me. And
there I find a little peace of mind for a simple man like me. Oh, and when my time is over and my body sets me free, will the good Lord be there waiting for a simple man like me? A simple man like me. Simple man like me. The good Lord will sure be waiting for a simple man like me.
Super.
Good stuff. Super. Good stuff. Applause, applause, applause. Good stuff.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate that.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Well, we appreciate you coming in today.
My pleasure.
Get rid of your echo there.
Love to be a part of anything that keeps the live music going in our community. So thank you guys for what you do.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. And we're going to take it out on a song off of East of the Sunrise, which is I'm Everything You Want Me to Be.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Yep.
Thanks
and,
again.
Again, Alan, how to get your music and your website and stuff like that?
AlanEstes.com. And then there's all sorts of YouTube stuff that you can watch, and then you can link on to my television show, Souls of the Sea. It's all in the website.
All right. And tune in to our Unfinished Music on November 16th. We're not doing 2 weeks apart. We're doing 1 week from today with Megan Wolf at 3 o'clock. Thank you for listening in.
I was everything you wanted me to be. Soft summer nights with the stars in our eyes. Loving every moment back when time was on our side.